Now, the 450 million euro Adair bypass, as we mentioned just before coming off air yesterday, has been granted planning permission. The project will include the long anticipated bypass of Adair Village in Limerick. Road will be a huge assistance in the logistical planning for the Ryder Cup, due to be held in the village in 2027, and also a major boon for the county of Kerry in terms of access to and from Limerick, and indeed from Dublin, cutting journey times, and particularly the port of Foynes, which is highlighted and designated as a maritime hub by the EU. All sorts of implications there for imports, exports and our renewable future. To talk about that, I'm joined in line by the Minister for State for the Office of Public Works, Patrick O'Donovan. Minister O'Donovan, good morning to you. Before we talk about the good news, I want to talk about Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly. What's your, and we're waiting to hear more details on what happened with him and the Residential Tenancies Board, but how concerned are you about the fact that yet another minister has failed to live up to requirements under the law?
Well, good morning, Gerry, and good morning to your listeners. And look, I, no more than yourself, you said you're waiting to hear about it. I don't know. I haven't heard from the minister directly. I haven't heard any commentary. I only saw the report late last night and early this morning. So I know that the three leaders of the coalition believe that Minister Donnelly is doing a good job. And I think, you know, until we hear the explanation, it seems to be some sort of an error, which I'm sure will come out probably this morning. He's meeting the media this morning. You know, until then, really, to be honest about it, I don't know enough about it to comment on it.
Does it bring more unwelcome attention and welcome focus on the number of landlords that are in Cabinet, the number of landlords in the Dáil, and the current housing crisis that we're living through?
Well, look, I mean, people enter the Dáil from all different backgrounds and persuasions. Some people are farmers, some people are property owners, some people, you know, have careers outside of the Dáil. Some people are still, you know, members of the Dáil and hold down other occupations, whether they're in the you know, the private sector, or whether they're people that are, for instance, operating, you know, as lawyers, for instance. So I think it's unfair to characterise, as you know, some reports in the media have done, that this, you know, that there's this massive number of people that are controlling all of the state's property, running the country. That's not the case.
So no landlordism, as the charge is being thrown by some opposition politicians.
Well, you know, they would say that, wouldn't they? I mean, like, of course, the whole word landlord and landlordism draws up connotations from a bygone era. But remember, and I don't know if it's on your programme or maybe another programme, most people that own second properties in this country are accidental landlords, because they wound up either trading up at a time when they maybe have got married or had, you know, children or whatever, and they found that the property that they first owned had depreciated in value so much that they couldn't actually dispose of it. And I know that there's a lot of your own listeners who will, you know, be listening to this morning all over Kerry and West Limerick, who will be nodding at this as well, because either themselves or their sons and daughters are trapped in a situation where they paid for property and the property depreciated in value. They outgrew the house, maybe they had extra children or whatever, and all of a sudden they found themselves as kind of accidental landlords. And those make up the bulk of the property owners that own second properties in this country, are people who wound up in a situation where they were either trading up or had to, you know, get a move house for work or whatever, but they couldn't actually sell the first house because it had depreciated in value so much. Yeah. Now, I don't think it's a crime for a person to put a property up for less. In fact, if we didn't have people who were putting properties up for less, we would be in a much worse situation. And I know there are members of the opposition who want to drive everybody out of property ownership in this country. But imagine where that would leave us if we had everybody jumping ship and not letting second properties, whether it is in Kerry or Limerick or Cork or wherever.
We're seeing a number of people leaving the market. Will we expect, and I know you don't know what's in the budget, but will we expect to see perhaps maybe something done, as has been called by some opposition parties, better treatment of smaller landlords for tax purposes in the budget?
Well, I mean, it's a bit rich coming from them, because they've spent most of the last, God only knows how long, since Job was a boy, demonising people who are accidental landlords. And if you were an accidental landlord and you had a second property, wouldn't you want your head examined listening to some of the people on the radio and on the opposition benches? I mean, they've called for everything now, bar locking them up. I mean, it isn't a crime in this country to own a property. But for anybody who's, accidental in nature or is a small property owner, they have been demonized to a point where they've almost been criminalized by certain members of the opposition who, it's amazing, they haven't actually called for the nationalization of second properties and holiday homes and mobile homes all over North Kerry and the Kerry beaches and everything else, because that's the political narrative that they're trying to push, which is a kind of a almost like a Soviet approach to things, which in this country, that doesn't work.
Okay, Minister, can I ask you about the news yesterday, the Adair bypass, solving the bottleneck problems? There's been calls from the Limerick Chamber for the project to be fast-tracked for a number of reasons, not just to bypass the town bottlenecks, but also the port of fines.
Well, fast-tracked or slow-tracked, it's going at a speed that has to be allowed under a planning process. And I know that people will call for things to be fast-tracked, but that's not actually the way it works. There is a procurement process now that the Midwest Road Design Office through Limerick City and County Council will have to go through once the appeals period is over. There's also a period of time for negotiations with landowners whose property will be lost to the purchase of it for the construction of the road, and that will all take time as well. But in terms of the size of this project, it is enormous. It'll probably be well over $500 million when you consider construction inflation, where it is running at the moment.
Yeah.
But in terms of a regional development and bringing the regions closer together, it's enormous in terms of its context. And from a Limerick point of view alone, it brings the motorway to Rackheel. There, for your listeners that would be familiar, between Rackheel and Croke, that's where the motorway is going to come out. And then you'll have a high-quality dual carriageway from there to Fines. So it is massive in its construction. It will take obviously a number of years, but some of the statistics, are quite extraordinary. Like, there's a 200-meter bridge over the River Meg in Adair. There's four other bridges. There's three railway bridges. There's 22 underpasses, and 16 other bridges. So this is massive, and it's been built in one stage, which is very important. And from my point of view as well, it was also important that it was dual carriageway the whole way to Fines, which is deep water, and an awful lot of your listeners will be working in that area, whether it is in Wyatt, whether it is in Anish, Skeeton, Fines, down into Tarbert. So this road will not only open up the communities to which it serves, but it'll also open up the entire southwest and midwest, bringing us closer to the centre and allowing for a greater level of economic development, and will also enhance the opportunities for foreign and direct investment, not only into County Limerick but also into County Kerry, where a lot of people are commuting on a daily basis from Tralee and the Stoll and even further down to Limerick and Shannon for work. This will dramatically knock a huge amount of time off of their commuting times, and it will bring opportunities to County Kerry way beyond, I think, people's expectations in terms of bringing the county far closer to the rest of the country in terms of journey times.
Mm, and that'll make a big impact. That's the positives of it. What would your view be, and this is a view expressed by many, some in the Green Party, who feel that, look, we shouldn't be building more roads. Carbon emissions, absolutely enormous. We should be focusing on better public transport to move people around.
Well, look, I'm not a great fan of putting the country back into the pony and trap.
That's not what they're saying. They're saying, and look, fines is important. There's no real way of getting around the importance of fines for us and for renewable energy as well. I might add, but they're saying we need to stop these
opponents of this road. Stuck between Clanshire and Adair on a daily basis, or stuck between Mount Erter Bridge and Adair on a daily basis, and even coming out further to see the people of Clarina, Kildaimo, Kilcarnan with trucks trundling through on a daily basis. So, I mean, I don't see too many of the people who will say that this is a bad idea living along those roads, trying to commute to university or Mary Eye or into work every day, trying to get to the regional hospital in Limerick, trying to get to Shannon. I don't see too many of the objectors saying that. And by the way, we have enhanced public transport, but public transport goes when public transport wants to go. It doesn't go when Jerry O'Sullivan wants to go. Mm. And the reality is, for an awful lot of people, no more than being second property owners, the last time I checked, it's not a crime in this country to own a car. And I hope nobody wants to go down that road of demonising people who own cars, because the vast majority of the people that I represent in rural County Limerick are car owners. Most of them actually are in houses where there will be more than one car because of the nature of what it is to commute to work. So improving our road network is absolutely vital. And on the other side of the equation, for your listeners as well, it is important to point out, we're not proposing just to move the traffic jam along to Newcastle West and Abbey Field, which already have their own huge problems. Simultaneously, they're going through a separate planning process where routes have been selected, and they're going through a separate process for much smaller projects, but probably actually quicker and easier to deliver in terms of the traffic that will be going along the N21. But for Kerry listeners and for West Limerick listeners at the moment, this is massive because it will bring essentially a dual carriageway right into the heart of West Limerick and Fines and a motorway at Rackheel, so that if you're going on to Tralee or Listowel, your journey will have been a lot easier than it will be at the moment, where people are delayed anything up to 40 minutes going through Adair, and the same going through Newcastle West and Abbey Field.
Yeah, okay, we'll see what happens there. Final brief point, a lot of people getting in touch with us on this morning. It's arising out of the public sector pay deal that is in the offing at the moment, hasn't been signed off and voted upon. Dáil deputies see their salaries rise by more than €6,500 to nearly €108,000 a year. We know why it's happening. It's all linked in now to the public sector. But, you know, people not too happy at a time of straitened financial circumstances for many.
And the only people who have forgone in the Dáil their increases in this context are ministers and ministers of state. And we have done since 2016. And, you know, I mean, the reality is that we connected politicians' pay to the grade of principal officer in the civil service for good reason, so that it wouldn't be politicians that would be determining politicians' pay. And it isn't. So politicians' pay is linked directly to the civil service. And when one goes down, the other goes down. And when one goes up, the other goes up. And that's the way it is. And I mean, if it was a case where you had politicians determining politicians' pay, I'm sure I'd be having a totally different conversation with you this morning.
Yeah.
But the only group, whether it is, you know, independents or otherwise, that have foregone their increases over the last
has
number
been ministers.
Of years.
Do you think you'll do it again?
Our ministers.
I know it hasn't been signed off on yet, hasn't been voted on yet, but will you do it again?
No,
but the
Taoiseach's view on this is very clear and hasn't changed. But look, I mean, the reality is that civil service pay restoration is something that the government committed to when we introduced back when the country was driven off the edge of a cliff because of economic mismanagement under the Financial Emergency Measures in the Public Interest Act. And it was always going to be the situation where this was going to be reversed. And it was always going to be a situation where I was going to be on a radio station explaining to you that when they go down, but when they go up, they go up. Now, across the public sector and across the private sector, there are huge challenges at the moment. And we know that. And that's why both the public service pay agreement, but more importantly, from my perspective, the budget is coming up, taking into context the soaring cost of energy. And we've discussed that many occasions. And I know an awful lot of people now have jumped on that bandwagon recently and said that what I've been saying for the last 2.5 years now, all of a sudden, is a good idea. But we know that the rising as costs of energy in particular, commuting costs, heating costs, and just basically the basics in terms of people being able to stand still, not mind get ahead of inflation, is going to be a huge problem for the government. But, you know, thankfully, based on the way that the country has been run over the last number of years, we have the financial firepower that we need. If we had been listening to some of the people that are, I'm sure, crowing on your station a lot of from the opposition, we wouldn't have the financial resources now to meet the challenges that we have.
Okay, Minister for State Patrick O'Donovan will talk more, no doubt, about that.